But this is a big challenge for us. They're coming off a big win with a couple extra days rest, so it's certainly look at it as a big challenge. Offensively, I think this is the best offensive line we've gone against to date, if not one of the best O lines in the league. They're playing well, been very consistent. The running back Forsett, I thought a breakout year last year, and is certainly following that up. His skill set matches very much what they want to do up front. Very productive for him. Flacco is a guy that we know a lot about. Big guy, can make all the throws. Has great touch on the long ball. The vertical routes, the posts, the corners. He throws them as well as anyone in the league. A better athlete, he can move better, and I think people give a guy that tall credit for. And he's certainly a challenge, especially being at their stadium. The receiving core, I know they've talked about Steve Smith potentially being out, but he's a guy that you certainly, knowing him and his history and his mentality, that's one I might not believe till the inactives are turned in, knowing him. Defensively, it's the Ravens D. I mean, I know they're missing Suggs and some of the bigger name guys, but it's of years past. But it's a good unit. They're playing well together. Very stout against the run. Very big. Very physical up front. I think the pair of inside linebackers, Smith and Mosley, are as good a tandem as there is out there, and it's a big challenge. They're get up in your face and be real physical. That's the kind of group that they are, and we'll have to respond to that challenge. Special teams, two of the better kickers in the league, and Sam Cook's been very consistent for a long period of time, and likely the one of the best young kickers in the league, young clutch kickers in the league, in Tucker. From an injury standpoint, Gip and Craig will not practice today. Craig more than likely is out this week. Drawn and Hartline likely will not go today either. Their status is probably a little bit more encouraging. There's a chance they'll be able to go, but we're going to sit them today. Turbin and Solomon will both do some teamwork. We'll go through individuals, and we have them in a pitch count and some of the teamwork to get a good feel for where they are. And then also outside of just Joe Thomas and Randy Starks will get their usual days off. But other than that, we expect everybody else to practice. I'll open it up.
Joe Hayden's catching a lot of criticism for his decision not to play on Sunday. I guess a couple things. Did you have any problem with him not playing?
No, and he is, and I think a lot of that's unwarranted, and some of that I will bear some of that blame, just in detailing the procedure and how it went. But Joe made the decision based on he didn't feel he could be 100%, and he felt it would hurt the team if he played. So. I mean, it's something that I've talked about with him, and comfortable with where we are with it. And I just think it's unfortunate because Joe is one of the faces of our franchise. I don't think nobody questions his toughness, his leadership, how important the Browns are to him. What football, what being a Cleveland Brown means to him, and vice versa. So it's. I think it's unwarranted. I mean, Joe, and I misspoke. Joe wanted to be out there. He wanted to play, but just in his assessment, did not want to put the team at risk, knowing that he could not be at the percentage that in his heart he knew he couldn't get to.
Did you feel that you needed to patch things up with him, or did he come to you and say, you threw me under the bus there?
No, it's just something I think when the flak started, I felt I needed to reach out to him. Between Joe and I.
Was the rib a factor? Or was it a hip as well? Or was it just the finger?
It was primarily the finger.
to the NFL on the whole situation that they were looking into with Joe Hayden?
Just presented him with the facts that he practiced, and we listed him that we expect him to play based on how practice went. So it's to me, it's a standard, it's a procedural thing when a player doesn't play. It's my understanding. I don't know how often this happens, but we don't see this as a big deal. I doubt the league will as well.
Mike, in regards to the play in the Seattle game the other day, do you conduct, either in the offseason or during the season, do you devote specific time to going over roles? Are you confident your guys know the roles pretty well?
Some of the obscure ones, I mean, ones like that, I'll admit that I didn't. I thought it was okay to bat the ball out as well. By position group, we handle that early, especially with the rookies, the explanation of, okay, how are things different now? That's a big part of when the rookies come in, understanding the differences. Never fails every year during the preseason. You have a rookie that catches, you know, somebody catches a ball in front of them and is on the ground and they don't touch him, and somebody gets up and gains additional yards or scores. So that those are always good teaching moments. And you make sure that they have a clear understanding of it. But when things like that happen around the league, that we'll address it this week. Just make sure everybody's on the same page. If there are things that you know, whether it's typically in our meeting regarding the officials, which is tomorrow, we get the video from officials during the week. If anything comes up from that, I'll address it with the team as well.
Where have you seen? You know, you've asked a lot of Pierre Desir, you know, because of the injuries and stuff. Where has his development been since the end of last year? And now he's, you know, if Kaywan doesn't come back for a while, it seems like he's into a pretty prominent role.
He is, and he's playing pretty well. I mean, I know he regrets the one play where he didn't get a good jam at the line of scrimmage and gave up the touchdown to Allen. But Pierre's played a lot of snaps and he was prepared. He did not go through training camp getting starters reps, but took all the opportunities that he got, and he was injured for part of it too, but took all the opportunities he got to get himself better. We always implore our guys that are on the scout team, you're just not out there just to be out there. You know, that this is play our technique unless told otherwise and use it as a rep to get better. And he embodies that. He did it last year and has done it this year as well.
What does he still need to work on to get to where you guys need him to be?
Just consistency with the technique. That he is outstanding when he gets his hands on receivers. He's strong. He's got a great punch, and just the length that he has. That when he gets his hands on receivers early, within the 5 yards, that most of the time it's disruptive enough to have the quarterback have to look elsewhere.
In your opening, you mentioned closing the gap on the division. In your history, do you feel that a year like last year can carry over, or is it a clean, whole new slate?
Well, I think it depends on your core, how many of your core guys were a part of it. And I know what the history was with the division. You know, it was right in front of us in the beginning. We opened at Pittsburgh and addressed that history. That's probably, you know, that and the Ravens would be the two most lopsided feel good about what we accomplished against Pittsburgh last year, and I know that's coming up down the road. But you know, Baltimore's one where it's been lopsided. I think Flacco's only lost once, and I know last year we, despite being very competitive in both games, we were 0-2 against them. But I think based on that, the guys that were a part of it last year are not going to be in any way. We're not starting the game in a hole. I mean, I think our guys realize that if we play well, that we can be successful.
I guess Kaywan's still in the profile.
He's not. He's been cleared. He'll practice full today.
And can you talk about the decision to play Bademosi more corner with Gilbert back healthy?
A lot of that was more practice reps logged that Batty had gotten more. Justin had missed a bunch with the injury and had played a lot more in the calls that we were making in that game, and just there was more of a comfort level. And we also knew that that Justin coming out too was going to be returning kickoffs. That we played Justin early and wanted to see where he was, and it played both of them, and felt as the game went on that Batty was probably in a little better groove and stuck with him.
When you go in at K1 and you got to move Trayvon inside when they go with three receivers, How much of an adjustment is that in maybe not having your guy who's playing the best so far in corner being on the outside?
Yeah, it's that is tough. That is tough to any time there's one injury and it causes you to move multiple positions. That's not ideal. But we're also, as coaches, you're tasked with putting your best 11 out there. So it's Tremont has played a lot of nickel in his past, and I thought did a good job moving inside. We would prefer to leave him outside, but just looking at what the circumstances were, and we mixed it, didn't play at all, just 100% with him inside, did some different things. But it's no different than another, an offensive line where if you lose, you lose a guard and all of a sudden now that you got to slide in, move a tackle over a center and move another guy in. You want to avoid that. But if it's a move that you feel puts the best lineup out there, then you roll with it. I have not. This is first I'm hearing it. So, gotcha. I'll speak with him about it. I just saw him at the walkthrough. Seemed to be in good spirits, but I'll bring it up.
Mike, did you anticipate this kind of production from Barnage? And is he the kind of selfless player you wish you had a handful of?
Yeah, Gary's been great. He's one of those guys that I think goes under the radar, goes unnoticed. Not a big name guy. I think a lot of people, felt, hey, that the production from that room was going to drop significantly when we lost, when we lost Jordan to free agency. And Gary's, we have a lot of confidence in. Made big plays for us last year, in few opportunities, and that's continued. He's been very consistent. That he's a more than adequate blocker, and in the pass game, he understands. He's a good understanding of defenses and leverage and how teams are playing them and where the dead spots in the zones are and how to set up a guy who's playing a man coverage. And then he's got good ball skills and knows what to do after the catch. So I thought that catch he made in the game was amazing, with it getting tipped and sideways, getting his elbow down. But he's been we've had some success this year offensively in the pass game. He's a big part of it.
Receivers are what they are. Mm-hmm. Does it stress a different part of your defense?
Well, I think the challenge clearly will be is clearly on the front seven this game, because this is a team that ran the ball successfully against us last year. I think 160 yards in one game and 130 in another. That we have to play well up front. That was the challenge in the meeting this morning. That this is an offensive line and a tight end group. They're big, physical. That we have to focus on technique and winning one-on-one matchups and, all the things we talk about, get off the ball, knock our guy back, separate from a block violently, tackle. The challenge for – we want to be successful on defense this year. This week it starts up front.
And in passing game, the intermediate areas that hurt San Diego, do you think that stresses that part of your defense this week too?
Yeah, we're hopeful that we'll get Joe back and Kaywan back. I think it'll change the look in our secondary. Not sure about Gip, but the NFL is a challenge every week, especially when you have an elite quarterback like Flacco. I don't think it matters much who he's throwing the ball to. I know Steve Smith was their leading receiver, but I don't know what the number is, but it's well into double digits, who else he's gotten the ball to. So he has a lot, maybe not a big name threat, but they have a lot of options. So we'll see.
Aside from playing behind a really good O-line, what makes Forsett a challenge?
He's very patient, very good in the zone scheme, that he sets his blocks up well, that he's just not starting to rush through his reads, that he knows how to set linebackers up and kind of hide behind his linemen and put his hand on their back and wait. And I think he runs well with his pads down, that he doesn't take a lot of shots because of that running style. And you look at it and you think, oh, that's a 2-yard run, and next thing it's second and five, and he knows how to finish a run well. And then he's a good receiver. He's second leading receiver behind Steve Smith. And then he's a guy that we have to be very aware of, and as as we got burned a couple times last week with Woodhead, we have to be aware of where the back is with the check down.
Right, whether it's a banging your shoe on the table or having a matter-of-fact conversation as to the sense of urgency and obviously not wanting to drop to 1-4, what are the techniques that you think work in terms of impressing on the team that there is a sense of urgency?
Well, I think when you get to this point, one thing you don't want to overdo it. I mean, we have a means of preparing, and we know we've been close in every game, and it's come down to a handful of plays. That there doesn't need to be a major shift in our mentality or a sense of panic. And I think if they see leadership acting significantly different, then that could have effect the wrong direction. These guys are professionals. They know the urgency. The fact that we're in the division, playing against a rival team. The one thing you don't want to do is get them overamped. And I think we've seen that in history affect the team early in a game. But our guys know that as the year goes on and we have that first quarter of the season behind us, not what we wanted, that we need to tighten some things up across the board, little things. And they know there's a sense of urgency to do that, but that's not something that from the standpoint of how hot I handle things, I don't see myself being significantly different this week, nor the coaching staff. I'm laid back here in front of you. I don't know if I would classify myself as a laid back coach. I pick and choose my times when not to be.